The worst thing that can happen to a species is extinction. The balance of life and death tips towards oblivion, and a corner of creation is relegated to rejoin the dust. People are often the problem, but we're getting better at finding the solutions. One small wild ferret was on the brink of disaster until it was astonishingly restored to the cycle of life, death, and taxonomy. Welcome back to Life, Death, and Taxonomy, your 30 minutes of interesting animal information. I'm Joe.
And I'm Carlos.
Thank you to Cassie for the creation of our theme song. To hear more of Cassie's music, please search Cassie Michelle on YouTube or Spotify.
And a very special thank you to our patrons. Thank you so much for your support. It's greatly appreciated. Thanks for helping us keep the lights on. If you'd like to donate, just visit patreon.com/LDTaxonomy or click on donate on our website.
And today we're talking about a Lazarus noodle, but more on that later.
I think that was the final boss in Batman Arkham City.
I don't know that. I know that game. I don't know who that could have been.
It's the Lazarus Pit with
Roger. Oh, that's right. Roger Ghoul.
Roger the Ghoul. I'm sure that's exactly what they were thinking about when they made that character. But yeah, we're talking about the black-footed ferret. It definitely has black feet, but it also lives where the Blackfoot people lived.
So is it like a member of the tribe?
So I wonder if there's a correlation there. But yeah, it's also called the American polecat. I like polecat. That's a... I feel like it's a unit type in a medieval warfare. Like, okay, I've got my lancers over here, I've got my pikemen, and then I've got my polecats. And my polecats are the ones that are going to take down the cavalry.
It does sound like that.
It's also known as the masked ferret, but we're going to call it here the comeback carpet snake. Mm-hmm. And a snack of the clones.
Nice.
Episode 2. But yeah, cool. Let's taxonomize this boy. We haven't done a ferret before. Whenever I think of a ferret, I think of that little toy that you could find in the mall with a ball that would just like bounce around, and it had a little toy ferret.
Isn't that a cat toy?
It seemed like it was for kids because the ball would move so erratically. You're like, how did it would like go forward and stop and turn around and bounce, and like, how is it doing that? You could probably use it as a cat toy, but I don't think it was marketed as one.
It looks like a cat toy, but when I was a kid, I only ever saw it out of the context of a cat.
Yeah. It would probably make a great cat toy.
Toy weasel, motorized ball. Okay. Yes.
Is it for cats?
I was trying to like, I don't know. I was just trying to type in like, what would you even search? Because I'm typing in like ferret ball toy. And it's just balls for ferrets.
Oh.
That you can get.
While you're looking that up, let's taxonomize this. It's in a kingdom you know, love, and are in. That kingdom is Animalia. The phylum is Chordata. Chordata. The class is Mammalia. It's a mammal. Just like you and me. The order is Carnivora. Because this thing is a carnivore, that's for sure. The suborder is Caniformia. So drifting over toward the dog side of things, which is not the direction I would have go just by looking at it. Like if you looked at a ferret and you would be like, should this go to the Feliformia direction or the Caniformia direction? I'd probably say Feliformia. But clearly its skeletal structure says otherwise. Family is Mustelidae. It's a mustelid. Mm-hmm. Weasels, ferrets, skinks, badgers, mongoose. The genus is Mustela, and the species is Nigripes. Mustela nigripes.
That's black feet for sure. Black grippers.
My little nigrippers. Yeah. Well, the fact that I too noticed that it was immediately recognizable as as black-footed weasel. So instead, we're going to do we're going to bring back critter groups. The part of the show where I asked you, Joe, a question, and that is, what is the term of venery? What is the name for what is the name for a group of this animal? What is the term of venery, or what is the collective noun? There, I said it right that time. If you saw a group of ferrets, would you call it A, skit of ferrets, B, a den of ferrets, C, a business of ferrets, or D, a happening of ferrets?
A business of ferrets. Let's go with business of ferrets. I would like to see little ferrets in little ties.
Oh, is that what you're going with?
Business, final answer, yeah.
That is correct. It is a business of ferrets.
I feel like I've heard that one before. I knew business was a term of venery. I didn't know it was for ferrets, but it sounds familiar to me.
I should have really narrowed it down, but I think you would have gotten it even faster if I said an enterprise of ferrets, an organization of ferrets, a company of ferrets, or a business of ferrets.
An S corp of ferrets, a limited liability.
An LLC of ferrets. limited partnership. But yeah, a business of ferrets. If you put a bunch of them together, they will start to make the generate profit. Especially if they're cute and you put them on YouTube.
Yeah.
Yep. So the black-footed ferret is a long, slender noodle, as you mentioned. It's like a stretched out mouse. It is pale yellow, with a kind of a buff-colored fur, lighter underbelly. It's counter-shaded. It has a distinct black bandit mask across its eyes, like a raccoon. It has shorter legs in proportion to its body, like all good ferrets should. And they looked dipped in tar. They are black. So they are definitely black-footed. So they were not very creative when they saw this and named it both the common name and the nomenclature. It's got a big fluffy tail, tiny rounded ears. Overall, about house cat size, but just crazier. But I mean, house cats can range in size. There's 50 of them that roam the streets of my neighborhood because Jacksonville has a cat problem. And some of them are small and some of them are Maine Coons. So how big is this ferret?
Well, welcome to the Beloved Measure Up segment, the official listeners part of the show. The part of the show when we present the animal size and dimensions in relatable terms through a quiz that's fun for the whole family. It's also part of the show that's introduced by you when you send an audio of yourself saying, singing, or chittering the words measure up into ldtaxonomy@gmail.com. We don't have a new measure up intro this week, but that means we get to hear from an animal, and Carlos is to guess what it is. Without further ado, the listeners part of the show.
Sure be some lumpy seat the back of the bus, huh, gang? Ooh, finally the sweet smell of success. Ooh. Or is it snacks?
What or who is that?
No idea. I have no idea. Some cartoon that Phil Lamar did the voice for, is my guess.
He was voiced by Joe Jackson.
Oh.
This is Shackelford from, he's the Trapeze Blue Ferret from Clifford's Really Big Movie.
Well, I guess that's on me. I really should have seen Clifford's Really Big Movie at this point.
You should have. Can you think of any other ferrets?
No, is there not one in like Over the Hedge or something like that?
No, I don't think so.
Not even a
no,
stoat.
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's a lot of like Easels. Things adjacent to Clifford's Really Big Movie in terms of like things you would have seen. Obscure cartoons.
Alan Tudyk voices a weasel in Zootopia. That's kind
of
close.
Feel like there's more weasels. But anyway, let's talk about their... Oh, first of all, this was... ferrets in general were suggested by I'm In Your Walls on Spotify. Thank you, I'm In Your Walls. We're doing it. We're believing.
Emmanuel's. I thought that's what you said at first.
Wall is with us. You know no, what? It could be in our walls, ferrets. But I'm In Your Walls was the one that said, whatever state this person lives in does not allow ferrets as pets. A state of confusion, Hawaii? Sounds like. I don't know.
A state of confusion.
I would think it's, yeah, any state where, like, if it got out, it would be not very good. Some places not native, like
so
Hawaii.
So I'm imagining that the it does not that this state is not in the cool. Great Plains region.
No, probably not. I don't know. Could just be like people who are wielding the sword for no reason. Let's talk about their total length. Nose to tail, tip of the tail, 18 to 24 inches, or 46 to 61 centimeters. In 1988, local Montana rancher Kathy Wankel discovered nearly 85% complete Tyrannosaurus Rex skeleton in the Hell Creek Formation on an island in the Charles M. Russell National Wildlife Refuge. It has come to be known as the Wankel Rex or the nation's T-Rex.
The I like people's the second one
T-Rex.
Better.
True or false, 19 ferrets go into the length of the Wankel T-Rex.
19 ferrets. Can you say the length one more time?
24 inches.
Oh, exactly 2 feet. Okay, so 38 feet long. Yeah, I'll say true. Sure.
Final answer?
This is nose to tail, right?
Mm-hmm.
Of the T-Rex skeleton, yes.
The correct answer is true. The Wankel Rex is 38 feet or 11.6 meters long.
Rexes were big.
They were big. And their skeletons still are. Let's talk about their body weight. 1.5 to 2.5 pounds or 1.13 kilograms. The Anzuwele, or the chicken from hell, is a large oviraptorosaur. That's an oviraptor. With a crested head, long neck, and bird-like features. It's a raptor that eats eggs, I think.
I think they all lay eggs.
Yeah, I don't think we know any. We think they ate eggs. We weren't there.
No one snapped a pic.
No Polaroids. It was named in 2014 because it was discovered in Hell Creek in Montana. True or false? 264 ferrets go into the weight of Anzuwele.
Would you cook
kind of like a giant chicken.
Where would you cook Hell's Chicken?
Hell's Kitchen, New York.
Hell's Kitchen, that's right. If Daredevil would allow it.
Yeah. He could smell it for miles.
Of the dinosaur? Or just a skeleton?
The dinosaur. With flesh and blood on it. The estimated weight of that.
I don't like that. How could you possibly estimate?
I don't know.
How much?
Maybe it was
flesh.
Yeah. How do you know it wasn't flesh fat? And blood?
How do you know it wasn't this big chubby thing?
If it had the density of a typical chicken, it would probably be around this weight.
Chickens are really light because they're birds. They have hollow bones. But have you ever seen that thing where it's they show like if the mm-hmm. the skeletons of everyday animals, but
yeah,
like if we treated them like we treated dinosaur skeletons, how mm-hmm. weird, you know, like elephants and hippopotamuses and
have you
cats
seen a picture
would look.
A T-Rex depicted with jowls like a dog?
No.
Yeah, what if it was like that?
I'm going to see if Claude will make it for me.
I hope Claude is your friend. And not a disgusting AI.
He is my friend. And a disgusting AI. He could be both. He's my AI butler that I ring a bell and say, please show me a T-Rex's jowls. And it does.
264 ferrets.
164.
264.
What that brings us to five, like 750 pounds.
I'll give you a hint. When I was looking stuff up for this, AI said it was about the weight of a large human.
And that is absolutely false.
Well, it was AI.
So well, I mean, I guess a large human can be 750 pounds, but that would be that.
Depends
absolute...
on him what large means.
That is not impossible, but it is not a
catastrophically average. Large.
I'm going to say false.
Final answer?
Yeah.
The correct answer was true, and Grok just doesn't know things.
I mean, what is the actual weight? Like
660 pounds.
660 pounds? That is, there are quite a few large.
It's not the upper end of average. It's the upper end of beyond average.
They have several TV shows about people over 600 pounds.
You know, my 1,000 pound sisters or whatever are two people that equal 1,000 pounds together.
Yeah, that's the show.
I was hoping two sisters that were both 1,000 pounds.
Oh, then it would be probably one ton sisters.
Yeah, true. That's a way better title anyway. You'd have to do that.
No, there's a, yeah, I mean.
There's a ton of sisters over in Montana.
One ton of them exactly. There's only, they each weigh 200 pounds and there's only 10 of them.
But yeah, this oversized chicken was 300 kilograms or 660 pounds.
Just like a really
big chicken.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any fast facts before we get into the major fact?
I do. So this, as we've alluded to, lives in the Great Plains region of North America. Mostly Wyoming, South Dakota, and Montana. It almost exclusively eats prairie dogs. So it almost exclusively lives in prairie dog towns. It's just real estate's all about location, 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 right?
Mm-hmm.
If prairie dogs make up 90% of your diet, you're going to move to prairie dog town.
I should be living in hamburger town by that logic.
You are living in hamburger town. We all are living in hamburger town.
Hamburger town, USA.
You are never more than half a mile from a hamburger.
That's true. Times. That's kind of heartwarming, actually.
It's heart-stopping.
Heart-clogging as well.
Yeah, I think that's Newton's like sixth or seventh law of thermodynamics. Your constant proximity to a heartwarming burger. So the way that this ferret hunts is it will sneak into prairie dog burrows, like a little furry burglar, and it will ambush the prey in the tight tunnels there. They can move through those burrows pretty quickly with their little slinky shape and size. And they are mostly nocturnal and solitary. Socializing is overrated, especially when you're trying to be stealthy. Don't tell that to the lions. Breeding season starts in early spring. Males will roam around and look for mates. And this is kind of the main time when this particular species of ferret will get together into businesses and then proceed to do business. They live for about 3 to 4 years in the wild. And they got to keep an eye out for hawks, owls, coyotes, badgers. These will make it less than 3 or 4 years, fewer than 3 or 4 years in the wild. And they make a combination of hisses and chatters. Not very vocal.
Good.
I will leave it at that.
Well, I'm calling the major fact demolition ferret. The black-footed ferret was presumed extinct in the wild 2 times in the 20th century. Once in the late 1950s through to the 1970s. And then again after a small rediscovery, after a population was found in South Dakota, and then it died out in 1979. In 1981, a rancher's dog named Shep, we know the name of the dog.
Shep.
Shep brought home a dead ferret near Meteetsee, Wyoming, revealing a tiny surviving population that sparked a modern recovery program. So in 1987, the last 18 wild individuals were captured to start breeding in captivity. So from those founders, conservationists have bred and released thousands, with hundreds now living in the wild across reintroduction sites. This makes it one of North America's greatest conservation success stories so far. but what about genetic diversity? If you don't, do you have a breeding population if you only have 18 founding individuals? I don't know. That's not nothing, but it's not a lot. Mm-hmm. So all current black-footed ferrets descend from just a handful of ancestors, which leads to low genetic diversity and vulnerability to diseases, specifically a disease that affects them called the Sylvatic Plague. That could wipe out the population if it gets bad enough.
Sounds like it turns you into a tree.
It does sound like that. Maybe it comes from trees. A tree coughs in the forest and no one's there to hear. Or does it make a ferret sick?
The answer is a resounding yes.
Well, so to fix this genetic problem, scientists had to do something that was never, ever done before. So, first of all, you have to know something about San Diego. In San Diego, there is a frozen zoo at the San Diego Zoo Wildlife Alliance. It is a wildlife biobank which preserves living genetic material, which is cryopreserved at negative 196 degrees Celsius or negative 320 degrees Fahrenheit. So that they keep genetic material for future use, like Walt Disney frozen under the castle.
Is he there with them?
Yeah, he's there at the frozen zoo. It's in San Diego. The zoo keeps over 11,500 cell lines representing more than 1,300 species and subspecies. In 2020, scientists were able to use the genetic material from black-footed ferrets by cloning a ferret named Elizabeth Ann from frozen cells of another ferret named Willa, who died in 1988 and had no living descendants. So this was the first time a U.S. endangered species was successfully cloned.
Why are these ferrets named after Civil War widows?
I don't know. Willa and Elizabeth Ann, the ferrets. Classic ferret names.
Were there, I mean, I imagine others might be like Thaddeus.
Well, I'm about to tell you some more ferret names.
Okay, I want to hear them.
So more clones were followed those clones. The new clones' names were Noreen and Antonia.
Okay, we're still kind of on that same track.
We're getting closer to like the 50s, Noreen.
The railroad track. Yeah. Manassas Junction.
In 2024, the clone ferret Antonia gave birth to a healthy group of kits. The first offspring from a cloned endangered animal in the U.S.
They're even called kits. And they're kits. In caniforma and not feliforma.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Like foxes. the first offspring from... this is the first time ever that an endangered animal was cloned and was able to give birth to a healthy litter. So these kits carried valuable lost genetic diversity. Willa's genome had about three times more variation than modern wild ferrets do, because they're all inbred hill people out there. So we got to get Willa in there. Cloning is being used as a tool to combat low genetic diversity and inbreeding in the captive populations, which helps the species become more resilient to threats like the Sylvanic plague or Sylvatic plague. The births are basically a collaboration of decades of work from a ton of different organizations, U.S. Fish and Wildlife, the Smithsonian, the San Diego Zoo, and other people. But cloning is not a replacement for traditional recovery efforts. Obviously, too much cloning also risks genetic issues, but it enhances traditional conservation when populations get low. So this is kind of doesn't seem like just a win for cloning. It's also a win for that frozen zoo concept. Like, if we're going to freeze the genetic materials from animals and keep it in a bank, and now it's like, okay, we can actually use that to clone stuff and put in more diversity into a population. So can you imagine, like, down from 18 wild individuals and back now to having a wild population? 18. Well, that's all I got. It's pretty incredible. I'm sure there's like, this is one thing I didn't look up. So the black-footed ferret is the wild ferret. Mustela nigripes is the domestic ferret, a different species. Mustela furro, yeah, it's a different thing. They are silly little guys.
All right, so that was the black-footed ferret. For you out there in Podcastia, go out to the ball game, get a prairie dog from the prairie dog stand, and get cloned back into existence like the black-footed ferret here in Life, Death, and Taxonomy.
Hey, Taxonomy Titans, I just want to remind you that we have a Patreon that you can find by going to ldtaxonomy.com/donate. All of our episodes are uploaded there. Sign up for free to engage with us, leave episode suggestions, or chat with other animal enthusiasts. If you find it in your heart to donate, it will help us cover some costs and continue to make the show. Plus, we'll thank you every week. Most importantly, thank you all for listening.
Life, Death, and Taxonomy is my favorite in the world podcast.
We did it. We cloned a ferret.